Welcome to the Get Up Podcast. Bam! I'm your host, Mark Hayford, coming at you like fresh jelly in a stale roll, baby. Welcome to the greatest podcast in the history of podcasts. When you're talking mindset, attitude, positivity, possibilities. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, banging, slanging, thugging, and bugging into February of 22. And I told you we are doing big things, Get Up Army. I am so excited to be here with you and see you, literally see you, as this is the first ever video that we are releasing here, as we are on season 2, episode 2, part 1, because we have something else amazing. No matter if you're listening on any of the 10 platforms and 40 countries and regions, which we are in, Get Up Army, we have our first ever guest, and I am so excited to introduce this man. Before we rip into this, hey, check out markhayford.com. There's 3 books, Get Up, 365, Light Up the Darkness. And if you can't read, I got you, bro. Go out to audible.com where you can get Up and Light Up the Darkness. Now, without all that further jive turkey talk, let's get to our guest. And I told you guys, just like when we had the Get Up Power Hour, just as we ripped into the new format of this podcast, gatekeeper, anyone that comes onto this podcast, they have to pass the test. They have to be an achiever. They have to be somebody that's going to cast vision, encouragement, have had mad success. So let me read the bullet points as I introduce this next guest for you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have someone who has wrestled on 3 national championship teams, is a former NCAA national champion, started a second discipline in martial arts of, and I'm sure I'll be corrected by this, but it's Shuai Jiao. And a year later went to Beijing, China and won a gold medal. The first American, I'm going to say that again, the first American from like George Washington to Kurt Angle, the first American to win a gold medal in Kung Fu competitions in China, beating the Chinese at their own game in their own backyard. And out of all those accomplishments, also author, but now president of the Psycho Cybernetics Foundation, and also obviously narrator of Psycho Cybernetics, the 30 million sold copy book from Dr. Maxwell Maltz. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together from the champion, author, narrator, and president. Ladies and gentlemen, give a big Get Up welcome to Mr. Matt Furey.
That was nice.
I'm sweating, Matt. I'm sweating. Welcome to the Get Up Podcast. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
I've been so excited to get you on this podcast. I mean, we were talking before we went live here. Every single one of these bullet points I just read off could be a podcast in itself. And here, you know, your life is just success after success after success. And this is why I wanted to get you on here to talk about so many of these accomplishments, the mindset that it took to achieve them, and all the things that just the Get Up Army just loves to feed on. So, hey, welcome to the program, and thank you for taking the time. First of all,
my pleasure, Mark. My pleasure.
Well, listen. First of all, you're in Florida, is where you're coming to us from right now. So I notice you're in a t-shirt. We're talking about the weather and how you had a cold front, but it seems like you guys are okay there. So
we're doing great. It was down to 28 the other morning, but we managed to survive.
That's got to be horrifying though in Florida to be 28. I mean, because that wasn't when I'm sure you signed the contract, that was in the cards there, but it's all good.
Well, that's my limit for one reason only. Even though I grew up in Iowa and lived in your state for a while, with Pennsylvania. I have some species of bamboo that are only durable to 28 degrees. So when it's getting around 28, I get a little nervous and hope it never goes below that. And which is a story in and of itself, very quickly, is one year it was 28 for several hours, 2 days in a row. And these 2 species died on me, or so it seems. Yet, they only died above ground. And within 2 weeks, I had leaves shooting out of the ground. Now, these weren't bamboo shoots. These were just leaves shooting out. That's what we call the survival mechanism. See, it wants to live. It wants more life. And I'm thinking, because it was new for me with this particular species. I have other ones as well that are good even below 28, but they shot out of the ground, and I'm thinking that these are new shoots. But shoots in bamboo in Florida don't start appearing till May or June. This was still February when they were shooting out of the ground. And I'm thinking, oh, these are shoots, these are shoots. But then in May and June, when the new ones really came out, I realized, no, these were just branches coming out of the roots to keep it alive, to let me know, don't chop me down, don't throw me out, I'm still here. Give me a little time. And I use that as a metaphor in many ways when I talk to people, is that on the surface, it can look as though you're failing. It can look as though you're going downhill, that you're not gonna make it. But beneath the surface, there can be major growth getting ready to push through the soil at any moment. You just don't know when that moment is. So that's the key. I love working with plants. I love working with nature, because it's a reflection of humanity as well.
This is what I'm talking about, Get Up Army. We didn't even get into this man's accomplishments yet, and we're already getting lessons, and it's coming from plants. I love it. I love it. I thought we were going to have a 5-minute conversation when we first connected, Matt. We wound up staying on the phone for about an hour or so, and it was all this. I love it. Fantastic stuff. Hey, I want to bounce. I want to go back. I want to go way back in time. I want to go to your amateur wrestling career. When, and I don't want to spend too much time here, because the psycho-cybernetics conversation needs to happen for so many, because it's life-changing. But I have two sons. They've wrestled. We're in a big wrestling community, big wrestling state here in Pennsylvania, as you know. Oh, my goodness. I mean, what was that like? First of all, your coaches, Dan Gable, Bruce Bumgartner. I mean, these are Olympians, and these are the people that are coaching you. And three national championship teams, and to emerge as an NCAA national champ yourself. What level of training and mindset does that look like? It's such a young age, because again, these are the years, the formative years still, right? We don't have our frontal lobes, men, they're not fully formulated. We're still capable of making dumb decisions, but here you are on the mat, taking it to the next level, to the apex of that level. What does it take us there? What's that like?
I can narrow it down in the physical realm to six words that I read in one of my mentor's books, Dan Gable, The Legend. And those six words I read my senior year in high school, and they were pivotal. They took me from being above average to extraordinary pretty quickly. And they were three workouts per day, year round.
Three workouts per day, year round.
So that gives you an indication of the physicality. Is I was working and training on my conditioning and my wrestling, but I wasn't working on the specifics of the techniques. I hadn't refined my technique to the level I needed. When I read those words, I interpreted them as three workouts on the mat per day, year round. So I had my team wrestling practice, and of course that's mandatory, but I had a running workout and a rope skipping workout and weight training or calisthenics workout that I did the other two times each day. But I switched it when we had 6 weeks left in the regular season, my senior year. I switched it to three workouts on the mat. So I was up at 5:30 in the morning. I'd go with my little brother down to this recreation center, and I would work on my moves over and over and over for about 30 minutes or so. Then we went home and had to get to school. Then we had wrestling practice. I'd come home and do a little homework, eat a couple steaks, and then I'd go back down there again and work for another 30 minutes or so with my brother. And After about 3 weeks, the moves were second nature. They were refined. I knew them as though I was looking at the back of my hand without looking at it. I just knew everything. And I won 15 straight matches, ended up in the state finals. In the state finals, after beating the defending champion in the quarterfinals and getting the coach's attention at University of Iowa, who was Dan Gable, I then won in the semis, and then I got in the finals, and that's when I had a mental letdown. And I started thinking about, well, you know, second place isn't too bad, and everybody still loves me, win or lose, and so on. And I went out and I lost to a man who was a junior. I was a senior at the time, 7-5. And I'll tell you, that loss haunted me for years. Even as I wrote in my book, The Unbeatable Man, even a couple decades later, I would have nightmares about that match. How did I lose? And man, if I'd only done this, and if I'd done that, it would have been different. But the good thing about it is, it taught me that the breakdown wasn't physical. I didn't lose because I didn't have the physical ability. I lost because the guy inside my head was no longer being a man of iron and steel. He weakened, and that led to the defeat. So this led basically when I was at University of Iowa and at Edinburgh University, I spent as much time studying the mind as I did all the other subjects, as well as wrestling. So I often say that I got my degree in speech communications, but I really, and I got my master's degree or PhD in wrestling, but I also got a master's degree in how the mind works along the way. But they didn't give me a degree for that. It was on my own. But this is what intrigued me and still does to this day. It answers your question, how did I make this pivot into the martial arts?
Yeah, and Ken, before you do that, I'm sure I destroyed it. How do you say the name of this discipline?
You said it correctly, believe it or not. Shuai jiao.
Okay.
Yes, you said it better than many kung fu and tai chi instructors in the United States who are Americans. Do not pronounce it correctly. They say shui jiao, or they bastardize it. So you did it correctly.
Well, I could tell you, Matt, it was an accident, but I appreciate that.
Accidents are good. I'll take them.
I'll take a happy accident. So yeah. How?
Yes.
What was the pivot? I mean, you know, you get to the top of the mountain here as an NCAA champ. What is the motivation to take on to be brave enough to suck at something new and to right? Because I'm sure that's a whole nother transition in mindset to do that. The athlete's there, the warrior's there, the mindset's there, but you realize you're stepping into a whole nother arena of competition here. So what was the beginning of that? How did that happen?
Well, I would say that I was intrigued by the internal aspect of what I was supposed to get from martial arts is that, and it wasn't just by internal, I don't mean the subconscious mind or the thinking mind, also the energetics of the body, how they go together with the mind. That was something that was glossed over in sports. You'd hear things such as, you know, it's 90% mental. So nobody ever explains what that means. And in martial arts, I gravitated toward that because it was going to give me an answer to what is this 90% and how do you get there? How do you make the mind 90% of what you're doing? The answer is more than two or three fold, but the quick answer is, you still have to practice physically. You still got to do all the exercises and all the training and so on. But now you slow it down. And when you slow it down, you start to incorporate your breathing. You start to incorporate your imagination and so on. So if I want to move my arm physically. I do this. You can see I'm doing it physically. But if I'm using my mind, I now activate my imagination and I think of my arm moving. And then now I do it with my breathing. And then I bring it back. So it's not this. And then you get so that you can do this physically even faster. And making changes on the go that are almost impossible to see. You know, you see, I flick with a fist, but then my hand immediately goes back to relaxation. So that was another component, is this ability to relax. There's a lot of athletes struggle with this. And in the martial arts, the way I'm taught, I've had many good instructors and still learn from top-notch people. But one of the best is Pendekar William Sanders, and he really, really expresses the need that you are physically relaxed, you bang them, and then as soon as you hit, it's your hand is relaxed. So how do I do that? And I've studied a lot of different arts, not just Shuai Jiao, a lot of different ones, but he's been the ultimate best at explaining how to do this. And so the search continued, not the search so much, the journey continues. And one of the things I teach people in my coaching with psycho-cybernetics is the basics are everything. And we're running around the track. You see, if I'm running the mile, I go four times around the same track in the same direction. We don't say, all right, I've run around the track once. Now let's change gears and go the other way. And then now let's go the other way. And now let's run across the field. Now, you continue to repeat the same thing that works, that is basic and fundamental. You just refine it and make it better and better.
Well, look, first of all, a couple things. I'm laughing to myself because every time you did any of the martial arts, you move so quickly, the screen blurred and froze every single time. So that's like Bruce Lee quick. I don't even know what happened there. That was great. But this, there's so many layers to what you're saying here. I'm loving all this. I know the Get Up Army is. And I'm just going to pause for a second here. If you are listening via podcast on the 10 platforms which we have, it is time for us to take a break for our amazing sponsor, Anchor. But if you're watching this live here on video, we keep it rolling, baby. That's what we do. I am here with the Matt Fury, world champion in martial arts, NCAA national champion, president of Psycho Cybernetics Foundation. And we're getting into the mind of an overachiever, a champion. Matt, again, I just love that you're taking the time to be here and having this conversation, just educating so many of us. We're talking about wrestling. We're talking about the martial arts and why you got into it and how you got into it and what you were learning from it. My next question is this, and it's about the whole, you know, discipline of going into the Kung Fu. You went in 1997, you go to Beijing, China, and you come out on top. You were the first human being from American soil who went into China to win a gold medal, the first one. First of all, what is that like? Was there any pressure knowing that you could be that first one? I mean, take us there to that headspace.
I never thought about that in advance. I only thought about winning when I trained leading up to that. I pictured myself with the gold medal around my neck. I saw myself on the top rung of the victory stand, receiving the gold medal. I would say this to myself, I'm going to win the gold medal in Beijing, China this year at 198 pounds. And I would say that with energy and enthusiasm as I would run up this really steep hill. And then I get to the top and I would look upward and put my hands in the air, a la Rocky in the first movie. And that was the main focus. Then when I got there, it was really about, this is what I call from psychocybernetics, remembering and reviewing what works. You see, you make mistakes, you correct course, but you also remember and review what works. And so many people, they don't remember what they do when they're at their best because they never ask themselves that question. What am I doing when I'm at my best? And that was going through my mind for the whole time I was training. And I made sure I incorporated everything from wrestling and everything that I did when I was locked in, I was grounded, I was unstoppable, unmovable, and so on. And that was the mindset that I had. But in addition to that, when I was in China and I was preparing for matches, I didn't have any fear of losing until I got into the final. So then that day, and this happens to all athletes and all martial arts, anyone who says, I have no fear, you do. All right, at some point, you just learn how to neutralize it. And when throughout, from being the guy who put me out, I'm ready to kick butt, to, oh no, man, what if I lose?
Did this harken back, Matt, to what you were describing earlier with your wrestling?
It did. It went back to my high school. It's a great question and good catch. It harkened back to that, but it also harkened back to just before the national championships, before I was about an hour before I was to take the mat, the same thing started happening to me that happened in high school. I started to think that, man, second place isn't too bad. Second in the nation ain't bad. And the good thing is I got out of the stands. See, when I had this negative thinking going on my senior year in high school, I stayed in the stands. I stayed where I was and just sat there and wallowed in the cesspool of negativity and self-doubt. In my year that I won the nationals in college, I got out of the stands. I went down a level to a private room where nobody was there. And I sat in a chair and I went back into the theater of my mind and I relived my winning moments. And I pictured myself in the match going through all the moves that I wanted to see materialize. I pictured all of that. And then, oddly enough, I fell asleep. I hadn't slept at all the night before the match, not one second. And here we are in the evening. So I've gone basically 48 hours without sleep. And now I fall asleep before the match, but guardian angel wakes me up about 15 minutes before. And oh my God, am I losing? Did my match already take place and I wasn't there? And I ran up the stairs and I saw that, thank goodness, the guy before me was out there competing. I got warmed up very quickly and I went out and won. So that was the memory. What did I do then? So I kept that in mind when I was in Beijing, as well as a number of other physical things I would do throughout the day. I would get up early in the morning and I'd run a mile really hard outside in the cold weather to get cold air in my lungs. You can probably appreciate this being in Pennsylvania, but if you're a competitive athlete and you get into competition and the cold air hits your lungs inside of a building with thousands of fans there, you feel at some point that you can't breathe. Your lungs are collapsing on you. They're cold and you fatigue very quickly. But what I found out in high school and college was that after you have that first round match, let's say it's at noon, and you get that feeling and somehow you survive that match, then you compete again at 3 o'clock or 7 o'clock, it never materializes a second time. And you have unlimited endurance. Your lungs don't have that reaction. So what I would do every day of the tournament is I would get up and I'd run a mile really hard to get my, and I breathe through my mouth, even though not supposed to, inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth. But I get running hard enough that I had to mouth breathe in and out just to get my lungs on fire. And then when I went to compete, I was fine. I had no fatigue. So that was one factor. But then this nervousness came prior to the match. Out of the stands, so that wasn't a factor. But there was nowhere for me to go. There was no lower level for me to go to get this quiet time and to visualize and so on. So I stood in place and I closed my eyes and I did a couple different breathing techniques. One was to cleanse the lungs of grief, sadness, depression, and bring in courage and confidence. So I pictured myself as a Siberian tiger. I'd inhale, I'd picture that my whole body was a Siberian tiger, then I'd exhale the grief, sadness, depression, even though I didn't think I was depressed or anything. You just get the idea, get rid of the negative. Then I went down to the kidneys house the negative emotion of fear. So that's the big one. So then I imagine that I'm this dolphin diving, you know, out of the water, jumping out of the water 10, 15, 20 feet, as well as the knowledge that a dolphin can kill a shark. Not many people know that, but a dolphin rams a shark in the gills and punctures its lungs and kills it that way. So I inhale and I imagine this picture of the dolphin. I bring in the energy and then I exhale the fear. So I bring in calmness and collectedness and exhale the fear. I did those exercises while standing there, but I did it in a way that nobody knew what I was doing. I didn't move my arms in any way. I didn't gesture in any way. I'm just standing still, not to call attention to myself. And a remarkable thing happened. When I finished, I was in another world. I walked up to my competitor, whom I'm about to take the match with, and I put out my hand and I said, good luck to him. Now, that's something I never did in my entire career. I didn't talk to the enemy, you see? The way you see in baseball and football nowadays, where they're all out on the field talking to each other, I never did it. No way, not a chance. But this time I did, and went out there, and we had a hell of a match. It ended 2-2. And by the rules, I was to be awarded the gold medal because I scored first, but they wanted to give it to him. So they raised his hand. That was the first thing that happened. And my wife who is Chinese and from there, she's upset. And I walk over to the stands, and normally I would be crushed. I would be upset as well. And I just said, look, you know, when in China, do as the Chinese do, just to play off that when in Rome, do as the Romans do, just making a joke of it. And then to my surprise, about a minute later, after I put on my sweats, the umpire, the referee, the judges, and so on, they came and got me and brought me back out on the mat, and they raised my hand as the gold medalist. That they admitted they made a mistake. So that was awesome. And here's what's really funny, Mark, is as soon as they did that, they raised my hand. Now, you got to know psychologically, even if you saw the video of me winning the national championship in college, when my hand was raised in victory, this was my expression. And I just walked off the mat. I've been here before. I've done this before. That sort of attitude. No jumping around, no celebrating, not even smiling. But because when I practiced running up that steep hill, and I'd get to the top, and I would do the Rocky Balboa and look up and so on. As soon as my hand was raised, the other one was up, and I'm looking up, and I'm smiling, and there are people in the crowd that are booing, and I looked straight at him, gave him the thumbs up. You know? And then when I was on the victory stand, again, if you saw the picture of me from the Nationals getting the award and so on, I'm just looking straight ahead in this 1,000-mile stare, stoic as can be, but this time I get the medal, they announce my name, both hands up, And that was really the extent of my celebration, which was big for me. But other people, they run around the mat, they fall on their knees, they kiss the mat, they do all, they hug the coach. I never did any of that ever. But in that finals match, I did show some emotion in a way that I normally didn't. But inside, I was full of emotion. I just didn't show it externally.
Incredible. Incredible story. If you are listening from the Get Up podcast platform, I could talk to this man all day. We got NCAA national champion. We have Kung Fu world champion. And we have president of Psycho Cybernetics Foundation, Matt Fury. We're going to wrap part one on the podcast platform. If you're watching this video, we keep it rolling. Hey, next week, from the podcast platform, Get Up Podcast, we have part two. So if you are listening to part one, we're signing off. For Matt Fury, Mark Hayford, I am always in your corner. It's Mark Hayford.